We are so thankful to be able to come to you with this gospel message. The Lord is so good to us. I want to thank those of you that prayed for me concerning my right knee and the problem that I'm having with it. Went to the orthopedic doctor, and he said, after he looked at the x-rays, it is not bone upon bone. Thank the Lord for that. The cartilage is not completely wore out, and all they had to do was give me a shot of cortisone. It's still a little bit sore, but I've got a stool right here in case I need to sit down. We'll just sit down on the job and finish the message. But I appreciate your prayers and your patience with me. We want to invite you back to the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 1. And this time, we're not going to be speaking anymore on a fire enfolding like we have been, but we want to look more at the four living creatures. The four living creatures. We find that in Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse number 5. The Lord comes to visit his child in Babylonian captivity. The reason he's there is because Israel has sinned against God, and God has put them in the hands of their enemy to chastise them and to teach them that they need to obey the Lord while they have the opportunity, so that they don't get into these kind of situations. But God doesn't waste this situation. He comes to visit Ezekiel in Babylonian captivity. Verse 3, it says, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest. Now, God's dealing with him is going to increase him and upgrade him to a prophet. But he's just a priest in Babylonian captivity. He's the son of Buzi in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar. And listen, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. Dear friend, don't you ever fret about it. Don't worry about it. It doesn't matter where you are or how bad circumstances get, or if it seems like God is chastising you. God will stay with you. He will not abandon you. He will not forsake you. I will be with you all the way, even to the end of the world. So God goes to Babylon to visit his child. And I looked, verse 4, Ezekiel 1, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, a fire receiving itself, and a brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. So out of the midst of the fire comes the color of amber. Verse 5. And out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. That should give you some understanding of who these creatures are. And everyone had four faces. And everyone had four wings. God's people have a multiplicity of identities and a multiplicity of being able to recognize and see the Lord Jesus Christ on many levels. We have four gospels, but there's only one Christ. Christ is the gospel. But Matthew the lion, Mark the calf, Luke the man, and John the flying eagle. All of those four things are right here, and they give us the four different views by which we may see the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, being made in his image, we have these four living creatures dwelling within us. So I've already given it away. The four living creatures represent the life of God in the heart of man, the life of God in the soul of man. What is the Spirit of God like within the believer's heart? Well, it takes four living creatures to be able to give you some understanding of it. Great is the mystery of godliness. God manifest in the flesh. It's a great mystery. Man looks on the outward appearance. What color's her hair? How tall are you, sir? How much do you weigh? What are your features like? We begin to look at the outward appearance. But the Lord looketh on the heart. So this is God revealing what he sees, because this is God revealing that which he has created as the Spirit of God comes into humankind and causes him to be born again. He is like four living creatures, the life of God within his soul. And their feet, verse 6, and everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings. They're four different identities, but just one person. Yet they have four wings. They're able to fly and to fly into the presence of God in prayer, fly into the presence of God in faith, believe God, and see that we have opportunity to come boldly before the throne of grace. We have wings to be able to put to those faces. They are not shut off from God. They have the opportunity to gain altitude in the Holy Spirit and sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2:6. Verse 7, and their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. The calf is a sacrificial animal. The Christian is to walk as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. So their feet are those things that must need to go home by the way of the cross, the way that the Master trod. If I never get sight of the gates of light, it's because the way of the cross I missed. But they have calves' feet. They walk in sacrificial meekness and submission and obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, seeking not their own will, not trying to have their own way and then ask God to bless it, but we're bought with a price, and therefore we're not our own. We belong to God. He's purchased us with the great price of the redemptive blood of Jesus Christ. And they sparkle like the color of burnished brass, polished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings. You fly into the presence of God, but you're still humankind. You have the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides. And they four had their faces and their wings. And their wings were joined one to another. And they turned not when they went. They everyone went straight forward. God's people walk straight in the path of God's revealed providence. They don't, as the old country boy said, they don't wobble on the axle. They are able to accomplish that which God has sent them to do, go straight forward, come straight back. It's all a matter of going from the Lord and to the Lord. He is the one that determines where we go and what we do, and we have the wings that we can fly into the presence of God in our prayers, by our faith, and yet we have the hands under the wings to be able to accomplish that which God would have us to accomplish, and we have the feet of the calf so that we might obey the Lord in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, that we might enter into the fellowship of his sufferings. Your life is not going to make any sense as far as the world is concerned, and neither will it make any sense as far as you are concerned if you don't view it from a viewpoint of Christ and his life. The Lord Jesus Christ left us an example, Peter said, that we should follow. And their wings were joined together. Listen, verse 10, as for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side. And they four had the face of an ox on the left side. And they four also had the face of an eagle. We're going to try to get into that and let you see what this is all about. They have the face of a lion. It gives you the understanding that the Christian is powerful. He's courageous. He's bold. And he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Philippians chapter 1, the book of Philippians, chapter number 1 and verse number 28. Glorious verse. You need to be acquainted with this verse, not just in your mind and memorize it, but live it. Listen, Here is the face of the Lamb, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. They can't do anything against you but that which is the purposes and the will of God, and it will work together for your good and God's glory. In nothing terrified by your adversaries. Listen, which is to them an evident token of perdition. You stand there in the presence of the king and say, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not bow to your music. We don't walk to the beat of your drum. We're not going to bow and worship that idol there in the plain that's made like unto the head of Nebuchadnezzar, that golden head. We're not going to bow to that. We know what the penalty is, and we'll take the penalty, but we're not going to bow it. They have great courage and boldness and faith in the face of adversity, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you it's an evident token of salvation and that of God. You stand and look hell in the face. You stand and look the devil in the eyeball. And you say, you're not going to scare me. Be anxious for nothing. God's going to take care of me. Listen, he has delivered up his son for us. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? Romans 8:32. So we see that they have the face of the lion. They're bold and courageous. Then, as we already have said, they had the face of the calf or the ox here in Ezekiel 1. These same four are listed out in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 7. And there it says the calf. Calf in meekness, submission, in meekness and submissive obedience to God, being a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Living sacrifice, dying daily. He said, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Why? That the life also of Jesus may be made manifest. You say, I want to be like Jesus. Do you really? Let me tell you what that will do to you. God will kill you out and get you out of the way, and you will bear about in your body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Dying with Jesus through grace reckoned mine. Living with Jesus, a new life divine. I bear about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. I die daily. I don't get up in the morning and say, Lord, come on, go with me. I got a lot I want you to help me do. You don't even get out of bed before you say, Lord, help me to know what your will is, and let me not live to myself, but live to you, for I've been bought with a price, and I am possessed, and I have been obtained and purchased by the blood of the Lamb of God. So help me to die to my activity, die to my purposes, die to my intentions, and let me walk with you, Lord, with these calves' feet. So he said, Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth. Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3. And Jesus looked at Nathanael and he said, an Israelite in whom there is no guile. Dear soul, we need to understand that the battle is the Lord's. All we need to do is to show up and answer the roll. God call your name at that particular place, at that particular time, and say, this is something you're going to have to endure. You answer the roll and say, here am I, Lord. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I don't have to do it and ask Jesus to help me. A Christian is not somebody on earth looking towards heaven. A Christian is somebody living in the heavenly places, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, looking back towards the earth. We are to do God's will. We are spiritual beings. That's what these four faces are all about. And then it says not only the face of a lion, the face of the ox, but the face of the man. He is intelligent. He is benevolent. He said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. How? Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You're not just a human being, your mother's child. You are a spiritual being. You are your father's child. You are to do that which he did, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So you are to be benevolent. You are to be intelligent. You are to walk and have dominion over all things. God put Adam in charge of everything in that garden, everything in the world. Animal life, plant life, it made no difference what it was. He was the one who represented God, and he was virtually a ruling king in that garden. That's what God started him out to be. So he is has the face of a man. And he is not to be, as Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12, those who are natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. There's nothing more glorious than a man living and walking in the Spirit of God. There's nothing more detrimental and nothing more shameful than a man who has cast off his faith and is walking according to his own lust. Then he becomes a natural brute beast made to be taken and destroyed. But he has the face of a lion, the face of a calf, the face of the man, and finally, the face of an eagle. It says the four living creatures, and in verse number 10, they have the face of an eagle. If you'll go over to the book of the Revelation in chapter 4 and verse 7, you'll find these same four. But it doesn't say the face of an eagle. It says the face of a flying eagle. Mount up, O men of God. Have done with lesser things. Soar into the heavenlies. Commune with God in the Spirit. Jesus told the Pharisees, ye are from beneath. I am from above. And so the true believer is one who sits in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And he has communion with God in the Spirit. So he is not just an eagle, but now the Holy Spirit has come, and he is a flying eagle. We have loosed him and let him go and let him soar into the heavenlies and be a spiritual man and commune with God Almighty. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. In Matthew 24 and verse 28 says, they are those who find the carcass of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's where the eagles feed. They feed off the body and drink the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. These people are constantly fed by the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath life. And dear soul, we see that we don't understand that, but too many don't understand that. I'm going to have to sit down a minute. There you go. But dear soul, we are constantly having the heavenly manna, the very body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst how? After righteousness, they shall be filled. Thank God for that. So these are those that come together where the carcass is. Jesus said, you can't say in the New Testament age, lo, here is Christ, and lo, there is Christ. It's not at some specific longitude and latitude. We've tried to make it so. We said, well, we need to go over to the Holy Land and walk up to that Wailing Wall and put our hand on where the temple was. That's over and done with. And churchianity today has ruined us by thinking and making us have minds that are set on nothing but just being at this place on this particular day at this particular time. Then what happens with the rest of the week? Forget it. Forget about Jesus. Forget about the Bible. Forget about God. No. These are eagles that come together where the carcass is. Let me read that to you. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. If I can find it. Yeah. in verse number 28. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Dear soul, wherever the Lord is, if Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere, wherever it be. You know, it doesn't matter. It's heaven to me if he is there. We want to walk with God. And so these are people who seek out the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're flying eagles. But eagles are not like buzzards. Buzzards just eat any old dead thing. But eagles have to have fresh blood, hot blood. Jesus is the fresh bread sent down from heaven. He provides us with the flesh and the blood that eagles alone can be sustained with. So these are the four living creatures. How do you understand the life of God in the soul of man? God said it takes four different creatures to reveal this to you. The lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle. Those are the things that God says represent the work of God in the soul and heart of man. You need to find these things within yourself. You need to come to understand that these are the things that God has said he has placed within the redeemed child of God. And we need to develop these things. We need to get to the place to where we recognize these things within ourselves and recognize the voice of the man, the wings of the eagle within us. We need to recognize the submissiveness of the calf, and we need to recognize the intelligence and the being of the man that's within us. There's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. So be all that you are. Come to understand the fullness of the revelation of God. But, brother preacher, I don't understand all of that. Neither do I. I just got through telling you, great is the mystery of godliness, God manifests in the flesh. But you need to come to understand and see how God sees you. God comes into Babylon. He comes where his child is in captivity and in bondage. He comes where his child is not allowed to have the temple available to him. He cannot offer the sacrifices. He is a priest, but he cannot exercise the course of the priest as he would if he was back in Jerusalem where the temple was. You say, I don't understand where God has put me. We need to not just understand where God has put us, but learn to submit to the Lord and be what God has called you to be wherever you are. Ponder the path of your feet. Ponder the thoughts of your heart and mind. Learn to discern yourself and what God has made you to be. Religion has told you that you are just this, that, and the other. And we have limited ourselves to only being able to worship God on Sunday at a certain place at a certain time. But God says, I'm coming to you while you're in Babylonian captivity. And I'm coming to you while you don't have the things in Jerusalem around the temple and the sacrifices and the offerings and the feasts and all of that stuff. And I want you to know I'm still God. And I still love you. And I still have a purpose for you. And this is the place you need to learn about God. You need to learn that God will divest you of all these things that we think is so important. And yet God is willing to do away with all those things and send Ezekiel into Babylonian captivity. And dear soul, just like the Egyptians, the shepherd was an abomination to the Egyptians. The things of God are abomination to the peoples of the world. Yet we have to learn to worship God in spirit and in truth. Maybe we can't do it in position. Well, we have to sit here on this place and stand when they say stand and sing a song when they say sing a song and bow our heads when they say we're going to pray. Dear soul, you need to be the flying eagle. Soar with God. Be what God would have you to be. That's what this is all about. So these living creatures. Now, this is the same word, and it's the same phrase in Genesis 1:28, quote, living thing. Same thing. These living creatures are living things. And it's the same word in Genesis 23 and verse 1, quote, the life of those three words, the living creature, the life of. It's the life of God in the soul of man. We're studying this. And what do we say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? You say it. He is what? A new creature. Why do you say creature? Because the Bible says creature. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Listen, it's the same word creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So you are a new creature. And you have the evidences of these four living creatures within you. That is the life of God in the soul of man by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's what this is talking about. And we see, dear soul, that this is not just one single thing at one single time. Just in Ezekiel chapter number 1, we find similarities in Acts chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 4. In Ezekiel chapter 1, God says, I'm going to tell you what I'm fixing to tell you. In Acts chapter 2, he said, I'm telling you what I'm going to tell you. And then in Revelation chapter 4, I'm going to tell you what I've already told you. Dear soul, you have to tell people something three times before they really understand it or before they hear it. You tell them what you're going to tell them, then you tell them, and then you tell them what you've already told them. That's the same thing with this. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to show you in Ezekiel chapter 1. Then in Acts chapter 2, I'm going to actually tell you what I want you to hear. But then I'm going to bring it back to you again in Revelation chapter 4. I'm going to tell you what I already told you. In Ezekiel chapter number 1, the Bible said the heavens were open. Did it not say that? In verse number 1, I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were opened. In Acts chapter 2, there comes this sound from heaven. And in Revelation chapter number 4, a door was opened in heaven. It's the same God dealing with his people in the same way. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, Ezekiel 1, today, Acts chapter 2, and forever, Revelation chapter 4. He changes not. He visits, heavens are open in Ezekiel 1, and he visits his children in bondage. In Acts chapter 2, he sends another comforter. He said, you will not see me again, but you shall see me again. John chapter 16. He said, what does that mean? He said, you won't see me anymore, but then you'll see me. He's talking about you'll see me and experience me in the Holy Spirit. He shall send you another comforter, John 14, 16. And he shall take of mine and show it unto you. What about Revelation? Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 1. He says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, which to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So Ezekiel, a door was opened in heaven. God manifests himself. In Acts chapter 2, the windows of heaven are open and the Holy Spirit comes and the Holy Spirit is manifest unto the peoples of God. And in Revelation chapter 4, a door is opened in heaven and God speaks to it. It's the same God doing the same thing. You say, I don't read the book of Ezekiel. It's just too strange and too weird. No, it's not. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He gives to all men freely. And he won't rebuke you for asking for wisdom. He upbraideth not. You want wisdom? Go to him who is wisdom. Dear soul, and ask the Lord that he might open your eyes, put the eye salve of the revelation of God upon you, that you might see these things and see it's the same God doing the same thing over and over and over again. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you in Ezekiel 1. I'm going to show it to you in Acts chapter 2. And then I'm going to tell you what I've already told you in Revelation chapter number 4. In verse number 2 of Ezekiel chapter 1, the Spirit of God entered into me. In Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And in Revelation, I hope I said Acts chapter 2, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And then in Revelation chapter 4, verse number 2, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Ezekiel, I was in the Spirit. Acts, the Spirit of God entered into them and filled them. Revelation, I was in the Spirit of the Lord's day. Ezekiel 1:28, he said, and I heard a voice. I heard a voice. There is a manifestation of God by the word. In Acts chapter 2, in verse number 4, and they all began to speak. God manifests himself through his word. Ezekiel heard a voice. Acts chapter 2, there was a voice. And in Revelation chapter 4, in verse number 5, there were lightnings and thunders and voices. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God manifests himself by his word. Jesus Christ is the word of God. And to know him is to hear God. So these things are spiritual things, yes. But they're not strange things. They are those things that God does over and over and over again. He acts like himself constantly and consistently. And we need to understand who he is. In Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse number 4, there was a whirlwind that came out of the north. In Acts chapter 2, there was a, verse number 2, there was a rushing mighty wind. But in Revelation chapter 4, in verse number 6, there was a sea of glass. The wind had quit blowing. The wicked are like the troubled sea, casting up dirt and mire. And Jesus stood up in the boat and said, peace be still. And the wind and the waves obeyed the voice of the Son of God. By the time we get to the book of the Revelation, that turbulent wind that has been in times past has now been commanded to be still. And dear soul, if you ever been out on a lake or been out on the ocean on a windy day, you see what they call white caps constantly raising up and splashing around. But dear soul, when you come to the place where you are submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ and he has conquered you and he has fixed your heart and has brought you to a place of absolute submission, and you know what it is to have the calf's foot and be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, you have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. There has never been a peace that the world has given that was enduring. Nations sign a peace treaty. 20, 30 years down the road, they're at war with one another. People hug each other's necks at birthday parties or at Christmas time, and, oh, you know, we're this so wonderful. And they no more got away from the place where they met together than they're bad-mouthing one another in their separate cars as they go. Well, I'll tell you one thing about it. Not as the world giveth. Peace, be still. God commands your soul and the world to be at peace, because he hath made you accepted in the beloved, and you are at peace with the peace that passes all understanding. Then in chapter 1 of Ezekiel, in verse number 26, above the head of the seraphim, that sapphire pavement in verse 26 of Ezekiel chapter 1, above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above it. Ezekiel was not without a high and lifted up. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Ezekiel is saying, you know what? There's something above the head of the angels, the seraphim and the cherubim. There's a sapphire pavement up there. And that which is the height of the angels is the bottom of Christ. When you think you've got to the height of things spiritual, dear soul, you're just now coming into the basement of, as it were, of the things of the Lord. He is above all things. He is above all their heads. So there is a throne, and one sat upon it. In Acts chapter 2, the apostle preaches to them, and he says in Acts 2 and verse number 32, "This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being right by the right hand of God exalted." There is an exaltation of one on a throne in Acts chapter 2. "And having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. For David, King David, is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith, The Lord has said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand." David wasn't talking about himself. He was talking about Christ. "Sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool." Now, listen to verse 36, Acts 2. "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye had crucified, both Lord and Christ." God has made him Lord and Christ. Somebody said, "Well, mama's going to go to heaven and teach angels how to sing." I doubt that. I don't think that's going to happen. They were singing before mom was ever even thought about. But they said, "Well, we're going to go to heaven and crown Jesus Lord. God doesn't beat you to it. He got here as Lord. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ." Did you say it? "Which is Christ the Lord." He got here as Lord. Dear soul, listen. Jesus Christ is sovereign over all things. He is a presently reigning Lord. And then in verse number 2 of Revelation chapter 4, Revelation 4, "And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." That's the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you know? That's Revelation 4, 2. Go back up to the previous chapter, to Revelation 3 and verse 21. "To the church of Laodicea write, To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne." I like that. It doesn't say will sit with me on my throne, but you will sit within the absolute sovereignty and lordship of Jesus Christ. It will finally come to encase you, and you will finally come to understand that He is Lord above all things. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. We need to read that next verse. If you're having trouble with this, and I'm sure you are, because I'm going pretty fast with this, trying to get all this in. But you can hit a pause button and you can go back and re-listen to it as you need to. You can understand this. You have an unction with the Holy One and you know all things. You need not that any man teach you. All I can do is confirm what the Holy Spirit is revealing to your heart already. So the next verse says in Revelation 3:22, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You say, well, everybody has ears. No, you're talking about those funny things hung on each side of everybody's head. They ain't talking about that. We're talking about a spiritual perception. If you have spiritual perception, if God has opened up your heart and manifest to you who He is, if you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, then you know that Jesus Christ is ruling and reigning on His throne, and you're able to sit with Him in His throne. Within the awareness and being engulfed in the absolute sovereignty of Almighty God, you have a consciousness of sovereignty. You don't have to say, well, let's figure this out. If Jesus is Lord. No, not if. You understand and perceive and know and live from the viewpoint and an attitude that Jesus Christ is ruling and reigning and you're sitting in His throne with Him. You face every problem without anxiety. Be anxious for nothing. In nothing terrified by your adversaries. Because God is ruling. They can't hurt you. There hath no temptation taken you but that which is common to man. And God is faithful. That's in the middle of that verse. God is faithful. He will not permit you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God didn't put anything on you to hurt you. God put these things on you, these fiery trials. You're not to think it strange concerning the fiery trials that are to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice. Thank you, Lord, that you're doing away with my flesh consciousness. You say, well, I'm a Christian. But what is a Christian? Somebody looking on earth looking towards heaven. No, that's a religionist. A Christian is somebody seated in heavenly places with a heavenly consciousness looking back towards the earth, interpreting things that happen to you from a viewpoint of God's sovereignty that you are within. You're in His throne. Isn't that good? I think so. God thinks so. And you need to think so as well. So we see that there's a throne in Ezekiel 1, verse 26. There's a throne that Peter preaches about in verses 32 through 36 of Acts chapter 2. And there is a throne that's set in heaven in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 2. A throne was set in heaven. And you go back up to chapter 3 and verse 21 of Revelation and it tells you about it. The next thing is, on the throne there was appearance as of a man. Shadowy figure. We're down here where the angels are. But there's something above their heads. The highest they can go is the bottom of where God begins. There was a sapphire pavement above their heads. Ezekiel 1:26. But I want you to understand and know something. There is a mysterious, shadowy figure sitting on that throne. Why is it mysterious and why is it shadowy? Because it has not yet been implemented. But it is not without its manifestation. Revelation 13:8, as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He's always been here. He didn't have to get here to be here. He was here before he ever got here. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. By him all things consist. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. Dear soul, you need to get rid of that little picture and statue of Jesus that's in your mind that was put there by religion, and you need to come to God's Christ. And you need to understand, he's not just a figment of religious imagination. He is very God of very God and very man of very man. He is your Lord. He is your shepherd. He is your bread. He is your door of the sheep. He is your vine, dear soul, that produces the fruit on your branch. He is all in all. You need to get saved from religion. And you need to get saved and born again unto Christ. We need to have an awareness of who Jesus really is. This was a throne above the heads of the seraphim. They were glorious beings. They were mighty beings. They were pure, holy beings of such a brilliant glory that you couldn't hardly look upon them. But that wasn't all. There was something above them. There was a pavement above their heads, Ezekiel 1:26. And on that pavement, there was the throne, and one sat on it in the appearance of a man. That's the Lord Jesus Christ waiting to come and manifest himself as Jesus of Bethlehem. In Acts chapter 2, in verse number 30, we saw that. Acts chapter 2, in verse number 30. Therefore, being a prophet, David, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath unto him that of the fruit of his loins according to the flesh, God would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. When you read in the Bible that the throne of David is going to exist forever and there would never be a lack of somebody sitting on the throne of David in the lineage of David, you must understand that that is fulfilled in Jesus Christ alone. He is the one. It says it right here in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 30. That of the fruit of David's loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He ever liveth, dear soul, and he ever reigneth. And then in Revelation, as we already read you in chapter 3 and verse 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. So we understand that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And verse number 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we suffer with him, how do you know that you're going to reign with Christ? Not going to reign with Christ when the trumpet blows and it's all over. Now, seated in heaven, now, like you are. Whatever you appear to be right now, look at yourself. So, well, I'm just sitting here in my pajamas watching this. Fine. Doesn't make any difference. That's who is going to be reigning. That's who is reigning with Christ now. We need to have our minds reshaped and reclaimed. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We need to get rid of the stinking thinking that churchianity has put upon us and limited us to thinking, well, everything I got is going to be way off down yonder down at the end. Well, don't you have anything to sustain you today? Don't you have anything to encourage you today? Don't you have anything that would cause you to to rejoice and praise and worship God today? Are you not worshiping God now in spirit and in truth? Well, I'm going to one of these days when I get to heaven. You're seated in heavenly places now. That's what he said. So in Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 4, and people do not understand this. It has been so messed up and it's been so twisted that they don't have any understanding. Revelation 20 and verse number 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. Who is that? The church. They are sitting on thrones, ruling and reigning with Christ. I don't know when we'll be able to get to the place to where we can show you that these four living creatures are the ones that break the first four seals in Revelation chapter 6. And call forth the various providences that happen on earth. These are the ones that's going to call it forth. You're ruling and reigning with Christ now, dear friend, by your prayers, by that which is happening to you, by that which God is governing the world and not allowing anything to happen except that will work for your good. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now that's not 999 years plus one. That's for the extended period of the church. From the time the Holy Spirit fell on Pentecost till the seventh trumpet blows. That's the glorious time, the thousand years. Every time you add a zero in the Hebrew world, it gets more glorious. Well, he's a captain of 10. Good, 1-0. What about this fellow? He's a captain of 100. Oh, 2 zeros. He's more glorious. But what about this fellow right here? He's a captain of 1,000. 3 zeros. He is far more glorious than the captain of 10. But the captain of 10 is not without his glory. And dear soul, listen. Unto one he gave this many talents, unto another he gave that many, and unto another he gave this. Dear soul, you have a benefit from God, and you will have an effect upon the world and its history.
Well, I don't feel like I have anything. I don't even go vote no more because it don't matter. Really? You're supposed to be representing Christ in this world. God is looking to you. God came to visit his child in Babylonian captivity, and you don't think God is going to visit you in American captivity? We're in a mess, folks. But the church is not. We're doing fine. Everything's all right. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We have these four living creatures within us that God has established. This is the life of God within your soul. These things are not if.
Well, I'd like to have that, but you know, I just don't think I...
It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what you feel. This is in every single Christian in every place in the world throughout all the ages of the church. God does not appear to Ezekiel or to John without manifesting himself in these four living creatures. In Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 4 and Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 5, it says, these are the things that came out of the midst of the fire. The fire is God. Our God is a consuming fire. What was in the midst of God when he manifested himself to Ezekiel? Amber. Verse 4, out of the midst of the fire came the color of amber. Ezekiel chapter 8, if you'll read, you'll find out that they are manifesting there that the amber is the glory of God. God cannot divest himself of his glory. The second thing that we find out of the midst of the fire
four living creatures. God does not manifest himself without those he has chosen in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ manifests himself as very God, but not without his glory and not without the manifestation of those chosen in him from before the foundation of the world. He has not brought them out yet, and their mamas have not birthed them physically. Therefore, the Holy Spirit cannot as yet birth them spiritually, but it will happen. And the Bible said he's not willing that any of these elect should perish, but that every last one of them should come to repentance. God will identify himself with his glory, and God will identify himself with his elect chosen people. Father, I thank you that those that thou hast given me, I have not lost a one. And all of thine in sovereign election before the foundation of the world are mine in redemptive grace here at Calvary. And then he turns it around and says, and all mine are thine. Jesus Christ understood that all those that the Father had chosen in him were those that he would die for. And he understood that all of those that he would die for were those that the Father had given him. The Father is not confused about this. Religion is. Religion don't want to hear about election. You can't know God apart from it. Out of the midst of the fire comes the glory of God, the color of amber, and the four living creatures. The four living creatures are within the manifestation of God and his glory. Our time is about gone. We got to wind up. There's just too much in this, dear soul. And I hope that you will listen to this and you will stay tuned and listen to the second message, the second part of this. We're going to continue on, God willing. And I thank the Lord that my leg is not hurting me and I'm able to stand and bring the word of God to you. And dear soul, God has sent you a messenger to tell you these things. We're down here at the end of the age and God is opening up this to us and manifesting his word to us and recovering the gospel for us. Don't you want to be in on it? What you do with it, you'll have to answer to God, not to me. What I do with it, I have to answer to God. I came over here with a sore knee and a hurting, swollen up leg and had to walk in here with a cane. But I was determined. God gave it to me, and it's not mine to keep. It's yours. God has sent me to tell it to you. You need to hear it, and you need to come back for the second lesson and hear what all God has to say to you at your convenience. That's the one good thing about YouTube, whatever that is. God bless you. Pray for me as I pray for you.